This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, our little Two Birds on a Bat spinoff, brought to you, as always, in the patio studios. Thanks to our friends at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform that you can download for free on your mobile device, and as always, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. Randy Green, my man, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. If you need any work done, whether it's construction, heating and cooling, and, of course, the electric team, they're ready for you. Just give them a shout. That's innovatedcompanies.com. Well, back at it this week, and as we are now officially into spring training mode, I would say that we should be back to a regular schedule here with Two Birds on a Bat and Bow Ties and Bullshit. And for our conversation piece today on Bow Ties and Bullshit, I always, you know, when texting the guys, think, okay, what's going on? What should we talk about? What can the fellas bring to the table? Well, I brought kind of a loaded question to the table today because of where we sit. You know, the off season is always, well, I used to say it was an interesting time. Things would happen. Things would go down. You know, the off season, at least the last few years for the Cardinals, has been, I'm not going to say dormant, because they have made moves. What's happened, though, is they haven't, like, made the moves that fans seem to want them to make. And then, as, you know, per usual for me, they've made moves and, like, I just have that feeling like if they just made one more, just one more. Now, maybe that's just me always wanting more, but I don't know. So I thought I'd bring in the panel today and ask them their thoughts. So I always say I won't judge the Cardinals until the offseason's over. I used to feel that the offseason was over the day pitchers and catchers reported, but we know that's not necessarily true anymore, and it's definitely not true because two of the best players of our generation for their age are still available in free agency. So this may be premature, but I'm not quite sure it is for the Cardinals. So today I asked the question of our panel, have the Cardinals done enough? So first off, as always, our leadoff hitter, and I don't know if he was he strikes me as more of like a middle-of-the-order guy, but for our show, he is our leadoff hitter. Let's welcome in from Prospects After Dark and Birds on the Black, everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. What's going on, buddy?
Hello, sir. How are you?
How did you like my loaded question for today? It's kind of loaded, isn't it? I mean, I know you can appreciate being loaded.
It's the thing I appreciate more than anything else. It's definitely a loaded question. And since you texted it last night, you know, I've been thinking about it. And man, the way that you phrased it, your own personal like outlook from your own vantage point about always feeling like, man, maybe they just need one more piece. You and I are in league there. We're in league, and we're in same step. I agree. I think that they did a lot of really great things that address some issues. It's just I don't feel like they're there yet. And another great talking point that you had to start it off, talking about when the off season is over, you know, not only because of Machado and Harper, but because there's 90 something, you know, available free agents. And because, you know, looking back a year ago, it wasn't until opening day that the Cardinals finished filling out their roster by signing Greg Holland. So it's, baseball's really changed, and I think that in the next couple months, the Cardinals will have opportunities to maybe add that one player, whether it be an arm or a bat, But I definitely don't feel like they've done enough to accomplish their stated goal. I think that they do well to add a couple more pieces to pad themselves and make themselves better, but that's just me.
Well, see, now that's the thing. So I guess, do we have to put a disclaimer out there that, you know, you never really know, because you've got to, you know, lots of teams win the offseason and then don't win shit during the season. I think we all know that. And I'm not quite sure, like, you know what's funny? If, like, news broke today that the Cardinals signed Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, right? I wonder if there's a part of me and you and everybody else that in the back of their mind wouldn't go, yeah, but, man, Craig Kimbrell's still sitting out there. If we just had that proven closer. So maybe it is always going to be one more move no matter what they do. Maybe that is it. I don't know. I mean, would we truly back off if that's what they did? I do find it odd that I'm not quite sure jaded is the word. I don't know what word I would use really for this, but in an offseason where they signed a guy that, while did not come off his best season of his career, has been one of the best relief pitchers in baseball and is dominant when he's on, and that's Andrew Miller. And, oh, by the way, we signed a legit hitter. I mean, a proven middle-of-the-order hitter, gold-glove caliber first baseman, and yet it's not enough. So, you know, I think it just comes down to, it almost feels like, I don't know, it's like we want them to sign one of these big guys just so that we can say we did it. And it's like we never do it and we want to do it. Is it that shiny thing off in the distance that we can't have? Is that something maybe?
I think that might be part of it. But for me, I think it's just a reaction to three straight years of missing the playoffs. I think it's all about opportunity. And I think that, you know, we see these last 3 years where they didn't make the playoffs, and they might. Like, the moves that they made, those two moves are incredible. Like you said, if you're addressing a left-handed bullpen issue, which was potentially your biggest issue of all last year, and then you also add one of the best hitters in baseball, like, yeah, that should make you happy. But coming off of all of these past issues where, you know, you just want to make sure that you did absolutely enough. So to your point, yeah, I definitely think part of it is it's a nice, shiny object. They're still out there. They're still available. But for me personally, the driving force is just wanting to make sure that all of the issues are taken care of with so many available players that could take care of those issues still available. That's where I'm at. But I definitely think that there's something to that, you know, like you said, Kimbrel's out there. If the Cardinals were to sign Bryce Harper, there'd be 24 hours of you know, 90% of the fan base being amazed and happy. And then what would happen after those 24 hours? You know, I think that there's a good bet that half of us would go, man, wonder what it's going to cost to get Kimbrel, or wonder what it's going to cost to get Keuchel. But that's my view on it. Yes, Paul Goldschmidt changes the lineup. That's awesome. I love it. Andrew Miller does something for the left side of the bullpen. That's amazing. I love it. Even if he's his 2018 version, he's still better than anything that the Cardinals put up in 2018 and maybe even in 2017 on the left side of the bullpen. So that's a positive. It's just like they might – I feel like I'm hedging every time I talk about them in the NL Central and in the National League, where I say they might have done enough. It's just like that one extra piece would be enough in my opinion, and that's where I'm at.
Well, the loaded part of the question is, and I think, you know, you just said the word twice, I think, in your last thing there, enough. And it's enough for what? And so we're back to that old, it's not old, it's something that the Cardinals themselves, for some reason, felt like it was okay to say a couple of years ago that, you know, they're just trying to get to 90 wins and get in the playoffs, which I think is – I hate to say this, but isn't that kind of like your kid telling you, you know, I just want to get my grade somewhere to a B, and then when I take the final, if I can get an A, that would do it. I mean, does that make sense what I just said? That's what it felt like to me. It's like, wait a minute, are we not trying to win a World Series? Are we just trying to get to 90 wins and then take our chances? Now, I've defended the reality of the proof of once somebody gets in the playoffs, any team can win if they get hot. That's an obvious fact here, right? But lost in all this shuffle is the feeling of we have an opportunity to put the best team on the field we can here with a move that only requires money, which we have plenty of. And I think for me that that's always the issue. So in the loaded part of the question, coming full circle, have they done enough? Enough for what? Have they done enough to be a 90-win wild card team? I'd say it's close. I brought up the point, I don't know how long ago it was, and interestingly enough, I still don't know where – not one Matheny basher, not one Matheny hater has come out and told me how, if Matheny cost us all these games and we've signed Goldschmidt and Miller, how we're not a 96-win team. I've yet to have one guy tell me how, if Matheny cost us all these games, how signing Goldschmidt and Miller's not enough to go from an 86-win team to a 96-win team. So nobody wants to answer that question, and that's fine because I get it, but it doesn't fit the logic then. So the question is, have they done enough? Enough for what? 90 wins, a real legitimate shot at getting back in the playoffs? I'm going to say yes. I'll let you give your comments now.
No, I completely agree. They have a real shot for that. Derek Gould a little while ago on Twitter posted some or maybe he retweeted it or someone else retweeted it. Anyways, it was some comments from Mike Gersh during the winter meetings where he said he was kind of addressing that 90 win, competing for a spot in the playoffs. And they were going beyond that. They were saying during the winter meeting times that wasn't their goal. Their goal is to have an NL Central competing team, a team that competes for the NL Central. That competes to win the World Series, constructing a 25-man roster that creates that. And I do think they did enough to compete to win the National League Central. I don't believe that they've done enough to make themselves the clear favorites. I don't believe that they've done enough to make themselves, the team to beat in the Central. By and large, I think the argument could be made that they could do it, but I also think the argument could be made that they haven't done enough. So that's where my apprehension comes in. The one thing I will say about the whole Matheny and Shield thing is, I'm very much moderate there. I'm very much in the middle. I think we talked about this a couple months ago for sure, but without really knowing, and we only have like a 2-month sample of what kind of a manager Mike Shield is. It was an amazing August and then a bad September. You can't really say anything yet about anyone that would replace Matheny. I have high hopes for Mr. Schilt. He fell into some of the same traps that Mr. Matheny fell in with the bullpen in September. Hopefully he gets beyond that. Hopefully he works past that. But other than that, it's hard to really articulate. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to find the right words to say to your question. And the reason for me that it's hard to find those right words is we just don't know yet. We just don't know what kind of manager Schilt is. And, that's the hand that they have right now. It's Mike Schilt. So once we see what he can do, then maybe that is enough, just the difference in manager to take him from an 88-win team with half a year of Schilt and half a year of Matheny, or, 4 months of Matheny and 2 months of Schilt, and turn him into a 96-win team that runs away with the Central. But we just don't know yet without seeing the differences in managerial style projected over an entire year.
Well, I think you brought up to me the one thing that if I was going to pick one thing, where's the issue? Where's the apprehension from me, if you want it? And that is, bringing up the whole thing about the wins and the Matheny factor and the show factor, I want to say that I think I love a lot of the things that Mike Shields is doing. You brought up the fact that some of the same things that were happening when Matheny was here seemed to happen with Schilt in the bullpen in September. He was making a lot of the same – he was doing a lot of the same things Mike was doing. So my question is this. Is that him or is that a result of what he had in the bullpen? Because the bullpen kind of reverted back to, some of the guys that they brought up when they changed the bullpen when Matheny was let go. I mean, they kind of ran out of gas. So now we're back to doing the same things Mike was doing where, who are you going to go to?
Yeah.
Every time you hand the ball to a guy, it feels like you're giving a grenade. So, and then let's fast forward. Yes, we did add Andrew Miller. But, I mean, and I was impressed by some of the young guys too. Are we impressed enough that we, I don't know that anybody when it comes to pitching for some reason takes into account some natural regression. Because we just assume that guys are going to get better. Like, if for some reason when it comes to young players everybody just assumes that, well, they're a year older, they're going to get better, right? I mean, case in point, Luke Weaver, you know? I mean,
yeah.
So there is regression. Are all of them going to regress? No. I mean, but baseball would tell us that. I don't know which ones it's going to be. It could be Jack Flaherty. It could be Ponce de Leon. I don't know who it's going to be, but something would suggest to us that there's going to be some regression. I just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing, too. And, that's something I've been trying to be more vocal about, too. And I think I love that you're stating it here, because there's a couple players the Cardinals will have in the second year, not just pitcher-wise, but also hitter-wise, that it seems like everyone thinks, oh, they're going to have this figured out, and there's no guarantee. But again, to your point about the roster and who they have and all that stuff with Matheny and Shilton, I really don't want to make this a Matheny-Shilt thing, but, you know, the names did change for Shilt, and he still went to the issue. So the question becomes, health and how guys are using when they're healthy, communication there, all that stuff. But, you know, the pitchers that Mr. Shilt had were different than the pitchers that Mike Matheny had. And he was still doing the same things that Mr. Matheny was doing. So I don't know. You know, we're just going to have to wait and see is all I'm trying to say there.
Well, let's just say this. When it comes to the bullpen, you know our friend Benji Molina, if he was in on this conversation with us, and we were kind of going back and forth about what we thought, you know, if we felt like there was going to be a real issue anywhere, yes, everybody would love for them to sign Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. But I can almost promise you that if our friend Benji was in on this conversation, he'd say, guys, it's going to come down to what? The same thing it's come down to the last 3 years. Bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and to be quite honest, I'm like every other fan. I know you are, too, to some degree. I would have loved Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. But the reality of it is, in a world that I find this funny, a few years ago, the Cardinals would get ripped because every trade deadline they'd go out and get a reliever. Oh, they're going to go out and get their reliever. They're going to go get their, you know, we want them to get this guy or this guy. They're going to go get their reliever. Wouldn't you love for them to go out and get a reliever right now? I mean, don't you feel like if they added one more guy with some sort of track record? Now, I know that doesn't guarantee anything, and we saw that front and center last year. But, boy, wouldn't it make you feel better? I don't know. I mean, is this about the way you feel versus reality maybe too for some of us?
Yeah, so that's where I've kind of always been on the fence here. You would definitely – if you had Mr. Kimbrell next year, you would definitely feel better. No way around it. But, you know, at the years in price, I have always been – you know, since the offseason started, I've been vocal about saying I like that the organizational arms that the Cardinals have. I just think that they need to be aggressive about using them instead of, being cute with them. You know, they're at a point now where they're heavy with the 23 to 27-year-old right-handed relief pitchers. And it's time to, instead of just sending those guys down to Memphis, it's time to get them at the major league level and see what they have. And if that means spring training, then that means spring training and adjusting. It doesn't look like all these relief pitchers are going to come off the board anytime soon. But if it means starting in spring training and adjusting and adapting that way, that needs to happen. But the Cardinals do this thing, too, where they're just afraid to give up what they've already paid for. And, you know, I get investments. I get wanting to get the return on investments with Gregerson and Cecil, who now is in the best shape of his life, and everyone's really excited about that. And Gregerson appears to be healthy, and they're, you know, whatever was going on at winter warm-up might have been a bit of an exaggeration. What I know is that they have arms, and they have intriguing arms, and they have some arms that have bullpen-type abilities, to be very, very good in the bullpen. They need to utilize those. They can't be cute with them. They can't just keep sending these guys down to AAA. They can't keep running Mike Myers out there. They can't – you know what I mean? There's pitchers in the organization ready for the major leagues who are better than some of their options at the major league level that they will probably break camp with. And that's the issue to me. And the other thing that we know from the years that they've won the World Series is it's not necessarily the arms that you have. It's the arms you have in reserve that come up throughout the year and finish off your season. They have those arms too. To your point, I would feel amazing if Craig Kimbrell was a closer for the St. Louis Cardinals entering 2019. I'd feel incredible. But what I want to see is I want to see a manager and a front office that's proactive about providing the fans, providing the team with the best chance to win by using the best players available.
Yeah, I've come to grips with the fact that, you know, the Cardinals operate in a business sense as much as they do. How do I want to say this? Here, I tried to make that too complicated. Let's face it. It's a business.
Yeah.
They have said as much. It is also a business that that they know revolves around them being, and this is the loaded word, competitive.
Yeah.
Okay? That being said, maybe what the quote-unquote experts believe is enough to make them competitive versus what the fan believes will make them competitive is always at odds. Now, the problem is, and this is where I think the thing gets dicey, and this is where we can kind of wrap it up, is that the so-called experts felt that what they were doing was correct the last few years, and it hasn't worked, right? Yeah. Now, I want to go back to now this is where the thing always gets interesting, right? I remember being a fan in 2006. I remember being a fan in 2011. And those teams had issues. Go back and look at it, right? I mean, they weren't like dominant teams.
Yeah.
Correct?
A lot of injuries in 2011 that, ended up, they got healthy in September for the
2006, yeah. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
You know? But the thing there was, is the feel around that team, those teams was a little different. I don't know if it was because, like, you had this core group of players that seemed to be proven. 2011, you had some guys that really stepped up to go along with, let's face it, one of the greatest players of our generation, a guy that was able to put together really the last ride of the Crusaders and Chris Carpenter, right? Basically gave his right arm to the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
You had a guy like, you went out and got a guy like Lance Berkman who, provided some. So, you felt like even if those teams weren't all there, you always felt like at any moment they had the core to get that done. The problem for this team, as I see it, is I don't know that people believe in the core. It's, we've had teams in the past where we felt like that extra fringe player would do it, and it had done it. Let's face it, like 2011, 2006, we just talked about a couple of the additions that made a difference. You know, if you make an addition to a mediocre team, what does it do for you in the quote-unquote middle reliever or whatever? But as I say that, then I think to myself, the last couple of years, if we would have added a reliever at the deadline, we may have made the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, and, this started off because we were talking about the Cardinals being a business. And they only ever make, like, reactionary moves when their back is up against the wall. And, you talk about adding a reliever at the deadline. I think of a couple years back when they traded a second base asset, who turned out to be nothing, and Eli Alvarez, in September for, like, 2 weeks of Juan Nicasio. Like, the only time they ever do that extra move is when they don't. Like when they have to, you know what I mean? Like that's the only time that move ever happens. And you're right with every, like, I like where your head's at there. And in 2016 or in 2006 and in 2011, like those were good core teams. 2006 had the MV3, that was an incredible team. 2011 had the Memphis Mafia come up and make a huge impact, a lot to go with Mr. Molina and Mr. Pujols and Mr. Berkman. The one thing that both of those teams had in common is they had pitching reinforcements come up, whether they be signed through the free agent market or traded for or brought up, through the system that helped put them over the edge when it came time and, that peaked at the most important times. But you're right. It just seems like the core with this team is just one question after the other, other than Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter to a lesser degree. So those are all, I love where your head's at there as you compare those three teams.
Well, I'd like to, I'd like to think that, if they had a let me say this. I was going to say that I'd like to believe that if the Cardinals, as they're currently constructed, who I think are better, were where they needed to be, whether it be at any time during the season and a need arised, especially at the trade deadline, I would like to believe that this is the type of team that they that the front office would feel both deserved and there was, you know, necessitated a trade. See, I've said at the deadline in the past that the front office kind of has told me what I needed to know, and that is I don't know that they thought we were good enough to make a trade. So in that context, what I'm saying is the addition of Paul Goldschmidt, the addition of Andrew Miller, while I also I understand regression, especially by young pitchers, natural regression, I also am a fan. So I'm excited about these young arms, right? I'm excited about Paul Goldschmidt. I'm excited about Andrew Miller. As much as I don't prefer Dexter Fowler, I want Dexter Fowler to do well. Colton Wong, I want Colton Wong to be the best player he can be, even though I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what he's going to do. I wouldn't bet $5 either way on what Colton Wong's going to do this year. But I want all of them to do great because they're the Cardinals. And I would hope that, unlike years past, I say this, and I don't know how you could argue with me. The front office told me all I needed to know about how they felt about their own team at the trade deadlines in recent years. This team, I would hope, especially with, let's face it, and I don't know what they'll do with Goldschmidt and an extension, but I would hope with this team, they would recognize that if they have a need, they better fill it. Because, I said last year, can they really survive with the fans missing another year of playoffs? I guess I'll say it again. Can they really survive another year missing the playoffs?
We'll find out. They did a good job with ticket sales yesterday with that flash sale, so at least they'll have their ticket sales. The amount of people coming into the booth, but, you know, that's a positive. The last couple trade deadlines are really interesting to me because, yeah, it tells you what they feel about their team, and that they didn't even know what to think of their team because they didn't even know what to do at the trade deadline.
You know, it's always interested me that if you look around baseball, the one thing that a lot of teams are always looking for is young pitching. And the Cardinals have all this young pitching. They almost have so much of it that they can't even use it all at the right time. So either we've overvalued it or the Cardinals have missed their play. One of the two. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, you would think that if it had value that people would be bending over backwards to acquire it. You know, if the value is more to another organization than it is to the St. Louis Cardinals. But the only tough thing that I get there, judging it that way, because that perspective makes a lot of sense. But the one thing that the Cardinals love is cheap talent. And I think that they'd rather have a surplus of pitchers that they don't have to pay than trade for, than trade for people that they have to pay for.
Sure. Well, and it goes with my theory, too. If I tell people all the time, if you have five prospects that you really like, you can really count on, I hate to say this, three of them aren't even going to be remotely close to what you thought they were going to be. One of them will be less than what you thought he was going to be, and if you're lucky, one of them will turn out to be what you thought he was going to be. I mean, just all you got to do is look at it. It's just,
yeah.
It's really hard. Mike Matheny said hitting is hard. Talk about an understatement. The game is so hard. But I've said it once, I'll say it again. We as fans, especially the casual everyday fan, the problem is, I've talked to Benji about this, the pros make it look so easy at times that I think we forget how hard the game really is, and I think we just naturally assume that they should be great all the time. And
yeah.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I love that. Well said.
Well, my friend, officially on the record, did they do enough? And again, I know it's a loaded question, so I'll let you just answer the question in your own way. Did they do enough?
They did enough to be the competitive team that they are out to be. They didn't do enough to be the favorite to win the National League Central or the National League. And I believe at least one more move, whether it be to the lineup or to an arm, would necessitate them doing enough for me to be comfortable with them as a playoff team.
Well, all right. There you are. You're on record. How can our listeners follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter at KYLER416. We do Prospects After Dark on Periscope and through Twitter on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock. It's a total shit show. We have a lot of fun. We talk seriously. We joke around. All the things we talk about on this program, what we bring up. And then also you can find me at Birds on the Black. I am unveiling my Dirty 35, the top 35 prospects in the Cardinals organization. On Friday, I released the four graduates off of the Dirty 35. On Sunday, I released the 30 or so players that are off of the Dirty 35, but you could see them finding their way on to a prospect list by the end of the year. There's 10 intense write-ups and 20 just quick thoughts on 20 different players. And yesterday we started our Dirty 35 rollout with prospect number 35, Ronel Ravelo. Number 34, Jake Walsh came out today. And we'll probably have them once a day until we run out of prospects to talk about. And it's, again, if you're not wanting to want to read about these guys, click on the article anyways, because I load up GIFs into those articles and you actually will get to see them throw their breaking pitches. You'll get to see them swing at breaking pitches that and miss. You'll get to see the strengths and the weaknesses that I talk about. It's a little bit more, it's a little different. It's a little bit excessive, really, but I guarantee you're not going to find anything anywhere else nationally or Cardinal exclusive that mirrors or comes close to the visuals that, that we put in to these articles. And I'm very proud of them. And that's something I never am. I'm usually pretty downtrodden on my work because I'm terrible at what I do, but I'm very, very proud of this. This is probably the best I'll ever do. So I hope you enjoy. I hope you check it out. And pick a favorite prospect and follow them throughout the minors.
Well, you do a great job of it. I know a lot of fans do listen. I think you're being very humble. A lot of people look forward to it. And like I said, you do a lot of that dirty work, and that's the truth. It's dirty work that a lot of people don't want to do. They just want the icing on top. So great stuff from you as always, and I look forward to chatting with you next week, my friend.
Jim, it's a pleasure. You're a good man.
All right. That is my man and yours, Kyle Reese. And you can find him on all those different outlets. He does tremendous work, and I enjoy having him as part of our Bow Ties and Bullshits panel each and every week here, brought to you by our friends at Two Birds on a Bat. All right, moving along, I'd love to get this gentleman's take. I knew when I texted him the question last night that he was either going to be fired up, mad, upset, some word that you want to use here, because I think I already know the answer to his question, and there will be no sugarcoating, and there will be no if, ands, or buts. So let's welcome in Mo's Algorithm. What's happening, my friend?
I'm well. How are you, Jim?
Good. And I knew when I texted this to you yesterday, I predicted correctly that you would text back within 30 seconds, and you did with a ha-ha. So I'll ask you the question. Have the Cardinals done enough?
Well, before I answer, I have to ask a sub-question to this. And done enough for what?
Well, okay, great. Because that Kyle and I discussed that the loaded part of this question is, you know, enough for what? Like, what's the enough? And what the enough, I would say the realistic enough is, I go back to something that fans are not going to let the Cardinals forget, that they're, you know, one of their faces. Let's face it, the owner is one of your faces, right? Your GM is one of your faces. And when you start saying that, you know, you want to get to 90 wins and get and win a wild card, it's hard to walk back from that, right? And I can even, as I said with Kyle previously, I can even understand what you mean, because I always try to take people at face value for what they say. But when they say things that are so, in my opinion, ignorant, I try to understand maybe what they were getting at. And I always have felt like what they were getting at was, look, a lot of teams can win the offseason, okay? You got to make sure you get in, and if you have talent, anybody can win. That's how I, in my heart, believe what they wanted to say, but that's not what they said. What they said was 90 wins. So let's just start right there. Have they done enough to win? And that's kind of where Kyle and I left it. Had they done enough to get in the playoffs with a wild card berth or better?
Yes, yeah, reluctantly. Would we all love them to do more? Yes. But I think when you look at it from a non-emotional point of view, which is how they look at things, if you look at the managerial position, have they improved there based on where they started opening day last year? I think we can all definitively say yes. If you look at the bullpen, have they made improvements? I think we can definitively say yes. The offense, have they made improvements? I think you can definitively say yes. The defense, have they made improvements? I think you can definitively say yes. So with saying yes to all of those, it would be hard and selfish of me to argue that they have not done enough to win at least 88 like they did last year, if not more.
Yeah, so would you feel like, do you have that feeling if they made one more move, even if it wasn't necessarily the one you wanted them to make, that that would do it? Or do you think it's got to be this move?
No, honestly, I've had all winter to pout over the Harper situation. And no, if they added like Kimbrel, like if he's still sitting out there, and I wasn't really for it back then, but you know, obviously the price and the years have had to have dropped significantly now. Otherwise, you know, but if you added him, wow, that bullpen really gets pretty incredible. So, you know, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be Harper or Machado right now. I've seen some advocating for Keuchel, and that would be an improvement. I think, you get into too many starting pitchers, but we've seen many, many years where guys get hurt, guys fall apart, guys don't perform the way you want to, and you can't really have more than too many starting pitchers. So I would be really excited about like a Kimbrel or even a Keuchel addition, but I don't know. It doesn't sound like they're really interested in doing any of that.
So, you know, everybody's focused on the bullpen. Something I saw today made me think about this. So, you know, I want to get a little bit of a different thought from each guy in a different direction. With you and I think really all of us are in lockstep that the St. Louis Cardinals had the money. They have everything they need in place to sign a once-in-a-generation type talent, whether it be Machado or Harper. And, you know, I've flip-flopped back and forth on this thing since before they became free agents of which one I'd prefer to have. I really let you talk me into Bryce Harper over Machado. My heart and gut still tell me that Manny Machado is the play. For a variety of reasons, it really doesn't matter because they're not going to sign either one of them, so I'm not going to lose any more sleep over it. But, you know, the bullpen, I hear Benji Molina in my thoughts at night going, bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. And we talked a little bit about natural regression with young arms, over assumptions of what young arms will do at the major league level, given, you know, not given a small sample size, given a full year. Some will impress, some will unimpress, some will fall back. So you start looking at all these things, and I sit there and say to myself, you brought up Craig Kimbrel. I brought up Craig Kimbrel today. I don't think there's any doubt that Craig Kimbrel, if you add him to this roster, I mean, I feel really, really good. Like, I would love to have Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but, man, if we signed Craig Kimbrel, I'd be like, man, I'm looking at our bullpen now, and we've shortened games. We've got guys that were, you know, I just start looking at it going, man, I really, really like our team now. And I hate to say that because I really want Machado or Harper. But I will ask you this. If Craig Kimbrel's dead set on a number because of his past performance, would you sign Keuchel and move Carlos Martinez of the bullpen? Would that do it for you?
God, I mean, I could see why you do it. I feel like it's kind of a waste of Carlos's talent to just stick him in the bullpen. But you know, if you can improve, like you have to look at it kind of like two and two, right? So who, obviously Keuchel isn't as good as Carlos Martinez, in my opinion, as a starter, right? He's probably slightly below, in my opinion. So is Carlos Martinez that significantly better than who he would be replacing in the bullpen is how you'd have to look at it. And, you know, I don't know who that name is, but probably he's probably significantly better than whoever he would be replacing in the bullpen. And I don't think you'd be losing enough to be overly worried about Keuchel in the rotation. So from a roster construction standpoint, it would make sense to do that. Do you want to pay? I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter what you're paying Carlos Martinez because you'd end up paying more than that for someone like Kimbrel. So,
well, you know, because here's the thing. I'm looking at this whole thing and I'm sitting here going, it's funny. You said something at the beginning. I don't want to put words in your mouth because you know, I'm sitting here trying to remember exactly what you said, but you said something to the effect of, and this is going to piss some people off, and I really don't care. You said something to the effect of, you know, they would, that something about wasting Carlos Martinez's ability by putting him in the bullpen, give or take a word there. I mean, isn't the truth of the matter is that Carlos himself may have wasted this opportunity, and maybe he's better fit for that role in the bullpen because he just can't do the things that we need him to do as a starter. And I really don't care if people out there think that this has nothing to do with his hair, has nothing to do with being young. It has nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. He has shown the inability to emotionally handle tough situations on the mound. And again, you can say whatever you want about me. He's admitted it himself. The people that he has talked to in confidence are aware of it and have talked about it openly. And that is a reality. It has nothing to do with talent. People want to say, well, you don't say that about Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha's issues are totally different from Carlos Martinez's. What makes him great and what makes the other guy great are two totally different things. Michael Wacha is not as good as Carlos Martinez because Michael Wacha doesn't have the ability Carlos Martinez has. Carlos Martinez has all this ability but can't seem to consistently put it together. So maybe a bullpen role where he's available 3 or 4 days a week and doesn't have to prepare for a start, doesn't have to go out there for seven. Maybe that does better fit him. I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it would be a really unique situation because you just don't see it that often. Like typically, you know, take a look at like Andrew Miller, right? He was kind of a failed starter, you know, like a truly failed starter. He just wasn't very good as a starter, and then rebuilt himself in the bullpen. But I don't look at Carlos Martinez, and I don't think anyone in their right mind can look at Carlos Martinez and consider him a failed starter, right?
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. I don't look at him as a failed starter. I'm saying he hasn't become the Cy Young. That's my thing about – and I've always said that about him. People say, oh, we had to – I'm like, wait a minute. What hasn't he done? He's been awfully good. The problem for Carlos Martinez, and this is where a lot of people that want to run to his defense, and I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself. My issues with Carlos Martinez are very simple. He has everything you need to be a Cy Young candidate, and he can't seem to find that. That's it. I mean, if that's the worst it gets for Carlos Martinez, that'll be better than it ever was for a lot of people.
Which is kind of why I said what I said, in the sense that, like, look at the trash pitchers that are in major league rotations, right? And so it's like, yeah, Carlos has some warts and some flaws, but like he's pretty good. So
yeah.
I think, you know, the idea of casting that off to the bullpen kind of just, it rubs me the wrong way, right? Like it doesn't sit well with me. Would I be fine with it? Eventually. I was fine with it last year because I understood the reasoning with the, you know, with the issue, the health issues he was having and whatnot. But like just to start the year and throw him in the bullpen, that's putting a lot. You're losing a lot of talented innings, I guess, is what I would stress there. And the other thing, just to add on what you said, is you mentioned that, you know, you felt he struggled with high leverage situations, right, in games.
Sure.
Well, like where would you be using him in the bullpen, right? Like you'd probably want to use him in those high leverage situations that people are saying he's failing at as a starter. So how does that help anything?
Well, I'm no major league pitching coach. I'm no major league pitching coordinator. I guess what I was getting at personally, and not even saying I'm right, is you see it sometimes that a guy that basically gets to go out there for one inning and just let it all hang out, it kind of takes some of it out of the way. I mean, you've listened to some guys talk about it in the past that have done both jobs about how it's majorly different, you know, I'm like every other Cardinal fan. Am I saying that's the right thing to do? No, I'm not. I don't know. I have advocated for leaving him alone. I think he's an unbelievable talent. I don't know that you take unbelievable talent out of a game for anywhere from 6 to 7 innings on average, which you would hope.
Yep.
For one inning.
Yep.
I'm just saying, is it, you know, I always do the two-man deal. If you start making changes, what's the ripple effect? So the ripple effect is, and I hate to say this, would I rather have, God, I don't even know who it would be. Would I rather have whoever it's going to be as the closer and Carlos Martinez as the starter? or would I rather have Carlos Martinez as the closer and then add Dallas Keuchel? It's hard not to say that we may not be better with Keuchel and Martinez, especially if maybe in your mind you've decided that it won't be long before you're moving on from Carlos. And listen, this could be totally about things going on off the field as well. I think we all need to understand that that's a reality.
Sure, yeah. And when you put it like that, you know, yeah, I would probably be on board with that because, I mean, you're paying Carlos like $11 million a year. So if you look at it in the sense of you're signing an elite, not even an elite closer. Elite closers cost more than that.
Sure so, they do.
You know.
If that's all Craig Kimbrough wanted, he'd be signed by now.
Sure, yeah. So I think you'd be getting some sort of discount by having that talent and that part of the bullpen. And, you know, putting like Hicks, Reyes, and Martinez in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, that could get pretty filthy pretty quick if they can stay healthy.
Well, and it's funny, you just brought up the name that Kyle and I didn't get to, and I still say that when it comes to this, and I'm sure you, I think we all kind of laugh about, we hear Benji in our sleep saying bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. There's the X factor for me. Alex Reyes can be that guy. So I am convinced. There's no doubt in my mind that if Alex Reyes can give them anything in a bullpen role, and he has the stuff that we know he has, it could really be something.
Yeah, and you know, if you have a vintage Andrew Miller, an improved Jordan Hicks, a healthy Alex Reyes, and a right-minded Carlos Martinez in that bullpen, oh, wow. I mean, that's tough. That would be tough for any team to get through on a nightly basis.
Well, yeah, I think we're in lockstep there. So I guess you've answered the question with the question being, have they done enough? The enough is the loaded part of the question. For you, they have done enough to be a wild card contender and possibly get themselves into that position. And I think so far, I think we're all in agreement on that part right there.
Yep.
Great stuff, my man. How can our listeners follow you?
On Facebook at Moz Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Well, it's great stuff as always from you, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. My friend is now with Pitchers and Catchers reporting. We should be back on our normal schedule of weekly bow ties and bullshit from our friends at Two Birds on a Bat and all the gang at Adam's Smokehouse located on Watson Road. When are you going to come in town so I can take you over to Adam's Smokehouse?
I would love to this sometime this summer. That would be awesome.
Well, we're going to have to plan that out. We got to get you down here, get you over to Adam's Smokehouse, and get you today. I saw they've got pulled rib. They've got burnt ends. You got to come in town, my man. You'd be amazed how good this barbecue is.
I'd love to give it a try.
All right, my friend. I'll see you this summer.
All right. See you.
All right. That is Moz Algorithm. And again, brought to you by our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse located on Watson Road. Don't forget Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays open till 7 o'clock. Happy to say now delivering to certain area codes. You guys can call them, find out if they can deliver to you. If you need any catering, box lunches, you can call those in at the beginning of the week and get your corporate stuff taken care of. You know, you can set up some work outings, things like that. But our friends at Adam's Smokehouse got you covered. You guys that may listen to the Blues NHL show, they got a great contest going on right now where if you go to Adam's Smokehouse, take a selfie of you eating, post it follow Blues NHL podcast on Instagram and send that to them through Instagram. You guys are eligible to win a great prize where you'll be able to join that show when they do their Live from Minner Arena show where Jamie Rivers, everybody knows Jamie, will have special guests. Last year it was Tony Twist. So four people and their plus ones will be able to join, have some Adam Smokehouse be on the show, get some stuff signed by the guys, and just an all-around great outing. So again, if you love the Blues, which I know a lot of people that love the Cardinals and the Blues, make sure you check out BluesNHLPodcast.com. Okay, so now that I'm all hungry and ready to head over to Adams when I get done recording today, the one guy that won't be joining me at Adams today, but another one that I'm hoping to get back in town here this summer as he has moved away from us. I don't know if it's permanently or temporarily. I've never asked him, but I know when he comes back in town, we can meet over at Adams Smokehouse for some great barbecue, and that's everyone's friend Brendan Schaefer. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Well, I don't know if you're coming back this summer or what you got rolling, but...
I'll be back. Okay. I'll be back. You can't get rid of me that easy.
Well, I figured as much, and we'll meet at Adam's Smokehouse, have some burnt ends, maybe a pulled rib sandwich. Everything will be great.
Oh, yeah.
loaded question for today. We've had some fun with it with the first two guys. I'll be curious to get your take, as you know, I think you definitely are going to have probably taken this question and looked around the league and thought, okay, have they done enough, probably compared to others especially. So I ask you the question today, have the Cardinals done enough?
Man, it's hard to say unequivocally yes, considering some of the players that are still out there in free agency that I think would be super helpful to this team. I think they've done a pretty good job. I think, you know, they're in that 90 to 91 win range, if I had to handicap it right now. But it's fair to have a level of frustration, right? Because Bryce Harper is a guy we've talked about all winter, of course. You can make a good argument for Manny Machado, too. And even now, today, as the writing is being placed on the wall ever so subtly about Carlos Martinez potentially moving to the bullpen, which to me is a negative thing. It's not a positive thing. It'll be spun that way by the team. But I think Carlos Martinez, if the Cardinals are at their best, is one of the best starters on the team, one of the best starters in the league. And so if he's out of the bullpen, even the fact that they're considering that the language they're using is open to that, would say that I feel they should be considering someone like Dallas Keuchel, or at least checking in on what his market would look like. I feel like the Cardinals internally are very confident in their starting pitching options because they've got a lot of them. They probably don't want to block too many of the guys like Austin Gomber and Ponce de Leon and even John Gant. And so they're probably not considering these options. But, man, when I look at what happened last season to the starting rotation, this whole thing with Carlos Martinez is worrying me a little bit, because he lost four starters to injury last year for significant portions of the season, and a fifth one, Luke Weaver, to what I call profound terribleness. And so through September, you managed to kind of cobble it together and keep the boat afloat until you didn't, right? Until that young crop of pitchers in a kind of rejuvenated sort of Adam Wainwright had to get you through September, and it wasn't quite enough. And so I feel like if I'm a Cardinals fan, I'm satisfied, because the biggest two needs of the offseason were technically fulfilled. You needed a big hitter, a true MVP caliber player, and I think Paul Goldschmidt is that, no question. And you needed to shore up the bullpen in a significant way, and I think they at least made a good faith attempt at doing so with Andrew Miller. After that, though, I think there are opportunities out there that they didn't necessarily pursue that would have taken them from, yeah, they're probably right in the mix to win over 90 games and be in good shape to make the playoffs, to, yeah, we look at this team and we don't have any doubts that this team can and should and will make the playoffs and potentially do even more damage when they get there.
You know, how are you – like, I'm curious your opinion – on the mindset of, and this is always my favorite, the mindset of 90 wins, just get in. I understand, man, that thing can be taken a lot of different ways, but it's come up with our other two guests today. I've been very open and honest about, you know, the fact that I try to give the Cardinals the benefit of the doubt to numerous things that are said over time. I know a lot, you know, there's been many teams, you know, like last year when Colorado started making moves, people were like, oh my God, look how good they're going to be. And we thought Washington was going to be great and win a World Series. I mean, you know, we thought the Yankees last year, who's going to beat them? You know, they traded for Stanton and they've got Judge and they've got, you know, so winning the offseason doesn't necessarily always guarantee you anything, but does shooting for 90 wins in a wild card spot guarantee you anything either? So where do you kind of lie in that back and forth discussion?
Okay. And I think that's a really good question, because I know at least on Twitter, you see social media, a lot of fans are up in arms about this. It seems like every year lately that the Cardinals don't quite reach their goals. Fans complain because in their opinion, the goal was only to get a wild card. I don't think that's the case. I think that's a bogus argument. I think the Cardinals' intention is to win the division. And I think that when they make their moves in the offseason, that's what their goal is, because you don't shoot for a wild card and you know, say that's good enough, because one game can tank your season at that point. So the teams aren't trying to just make a wild card. But the way I look at it is, you know, last year, 88 wins is what the Cardinals had. It wasn't enough in 2018 to win the division or win a wild card. For all we know, that number could be enough in 2019. So it's kind of hard to like use the number of wins that we expect and then pair that with, and I expect that to be a division winning team, or and I expect that to be a wild card team, or and I expect that to miss the postseason. In what was it, 2015, 95 wins in the NL Central wouldn't have been enough, because you had teams, Cardinals were at 100, Pirates and Cubs were right behind them at 98, 97. And so it's kind of hard to answer that with both of those things in consideration. But what I think the Cardinals do here is they say, we feel like we have a really good opportunity to compete and win the division, because the division's what they want. But I think where they differ from fans is the recognition that fans say Dexter Fowler is a big question mark. And if he's as bad as he was last year, that's going to cost you multiple wins, potentially as many as 4 wins, 5 wins, compared to just signing what feels like the sure thing in Dexter Fowler, or pardon me, in Bryce Harper. You know, that feels like the obvious, fill the hole, win 4 extra games, boom, you're a division winning team. I think that's how fans look at it a lot of times. And that's not unfair, because like the expectation when you sign a player like that is that he'll be really good and that he'll help you win more games. And I think though fans look at that as a guarantee, teams look at it as, well, here's what we expect from Harper. Here's what we expect from Fowler. Here's the possibility that neither of those are quite met, and the potential to cost us this amount of money to actually not win any extra games with a Harper over a Fowler. And they do the same thing in the rotation. Maybe they've had internal conversations about Keuchel. I would think they would have to, being a team that has Austin Gomber as their only left-handed starter, potentially. So you look at Keuchel and say, okay, here's what we would expect that he might cost. Here's the value we think he would bring. And like, for whatever reason, all of those calculations that are being made, for a fan, it's add this guy, win more games, now you're a division-winning team. For the Cardinals, it's we think we have this chance to win the division already, and we don't think that the cost of player A, player B, player C justifies the improvement necessarily over what we already have to win the division. The chances that we can take with, you know, Ponce de Leon as our number 7 starter versus plugging in Dallas Keuchel as our number 2 and running with it. Like, I just think that fans view it as do this and you're guaranteed to have the success. And it's more of a spectrum for the team, because they have to be more cognizant of the cost that it would take to bring these guys in. But no, as far as they're just trying to settle for the second wild card, no, I think fans are wrong about that one. It's just more complicated than that, basically.
Let me ask you this question. One of the things that Kyle and I kind of talked about at the very beginning is that, you know, I've said forever that I'm like every fan. I get frustrated, I get mad, you know, because that's what I am. I'm a fan. Let's say I'm not a professional. I'm not a, you know, I always say I don't know shit. I don't know anything more than anybody else. I've always said that I won't judge them, even though I've lied because I have judged them. But I'd like to believe that I'm not going to judge them until the offseason's over. So, like, today, you sit here and go, well, pitchers and catchers have reported the offseason's over. I don't know the offseason's over. It definitely isn't over. I don't know. The question is it over for the Cardinals? My last question to you is, do you think it's over for the Cardinals? I mean, I have some, like, I don't know if they're conspiracy theories or just opinions, but I have some thoughts. Do you think they're done?
Yeah, they're done. I mean, they're going to sign the Bud Norris of 2019 as, like, a ceiling for what I expect them to do. And remember, Bud Norris, when they signed him, it was like, hey, is he going to be a starter or a reliever? Because he's kind of done both. And so they're going to spend, like, in that bargain aisle, I think. None of the big names that fans are considering, that fans think would be interesting, I think are going to be added. Like, the starting eight is the starting eight. The starting rotation is pretty much going to be what it is. And the guys that are vying for bullpen spots, for the most part, maybe there's one exception of a lower name, like I mentioned, are already on the roster and on the team. I think it's fair to judge the offseason for what it is right now. And of course, you can't really do that, because get into the season, like, have 2019 play out and then look back and remember what you thought about the offseason. Maybe you were wrong. We often are. And I think it's important to go ahead and judge the offseason now. If the Cardinals do make a move, then say, okay, I was wrong and here's my new evaluation. But I feel like it's mid-February. I think it's fair to go ahead and do that. But then the caveat is always going to be, come September, like, be willing to look back on what you thought at the time and say, hey, I got this right or I got this wrong. Because sports are, it's fun to have takes. It's fun to have opinions on things. You know, and that's kind of why I try not to, on Twitter especially, just railroad people for opinions that I don't agree with, because sometimes my opinions are going to be proven wrong and sometimes theirs are. But gosh, if none of us had opinions on what things were, we wouldn't have nearly as much fun doing this. The podcast wouldn't be worth it. You know what I mean?
Sure. And, you know, so here, I kind of like what you said there. My conspiracy theory is this, and it's funny, we're using a lot of loaded words today in our statement. So, like, you know, did the Cardinals do enough? Well, enough for what, right? And is the offseason done? Well, define done. To you, obviously, the offseason being done means they're not in on what we would call an impactful player. Now, I'm going to disagree a smidge with you and say whether you whether you liked him or not last year, Bud Norris wound up being a significant piece for the St. Louis Cardinals. So if the Cardinals were to I hate to use this term. If the Cardinals were to go get a remaining piece of low-hanging fruit that was to bear fruit for them, then it's really not done. But to take it another step further, here's my conspiracy theory. The one guy that I can't, like, I can sit here all day long and say, why is Brett Cecil still on this team? Why is Dexter Fowler still on this team? And I know why Dexter Fowler's still on the team, but why is Brett Cecil still on the team? Well, I also know why he's still on the team. But the one guy that I can't figure out why he's still on this team is Jed Jerko. Now, my theory is because of San Diego covering some money, it's not an exorbitant amount of money. Jed Jerko's proven to be a decent player. There's really no room for him. We have other options to do what he does. I'm trying to figure out if he is the fallback guy for a lot of teams that don't get Machado. For the Cardinals to call and go, hey, look, here's what we're looking for. We've got Jed Jerko sitting here. Be a fine player for you. I'm just wondering if the Cardinals aren't sitting back and waiting, and then maybe they address something that way. So I don't know. I can't figure out for the life of me why Jed Jerko's still in the Cardinals.
It's a fun theory. Here's what my counter will be to that. And you mentioned Jed Jerko potentially as a fallback for teams that don't get Machado. I think most teams know they're not getting Machado, so I'm not sure I buy that. I do think, though, and here's my answer to your question, Jed Jerko is a fallback for a lot of different positions on the St. Louis Cardinals. And he can do it better than the other players the Cardinals have. Like, he's better than Gerald Munoz as a player. The $13 million salary, not a ton, but it's probably a deterrent in other teams looking to acquire him. Potentially, they might want some of that money to be eaten by the Cardinals, perhaps. But I just look at Jerko. He plays a great defensive third base. So when something happens anywhere on the infield, like if it's Goldschmidt, Carpenter moves back to first, you're good. If it's, you know, at another position, if it's Carpenter at third base, plug him right in, you're good. He can play second base. He in a pinch, he can play shortstop. Like, I'd probably put Jed Jerko at shortstop if anything happened to Paul DeJong over anybody else on the roster, because I don't think anybody on the 40-man has quite the bat that I want to see in that lineup. And really, defensively, they don't have a backup shortstop that I trust. So Jerko, in my opinion, is basically your best backup at every infield position. And so I think that's why he's on the team, because guys are going to get hurt. It happens every year, and then you see the team scrambling. I'm totally cool with Jed Jerko being kind of a super utility role to start the season. And when the first infielder goes down, suddenly he's an everyday player. And I feel like it'd be wise to kind of think with that in mind, because it'll happen in the infield. It'll happen in the outfield. It'll happen in the bullpen. And God knows it's going to happen in the starting rotation. So I like the Cardinals' depth, and that's why I feel like they're in a pretty good position to eclipse that 90-win mark. It's just going to depend on what happens to the other teams in the division, because we know the Reds are better. We know the Cubs have expectations. Really, the only team is the Pirates that I'm not really looking at to make a run right now. So I think depth is a good thing to have, and Jed Jerko kind of represents that for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I was the thing with Jerko is I'm not sure about it. I know for the recent years the Padres have been eating like $5 million a year or something like that. So.
Yeah, I could be wrong on the money thing. I just saw the number, so I could be wrong on exactly what the Cardinals are owing for the season. But yeah, I like the theory. I don't think I'm on board with you for this one.
Well, it's okay. I mean, you know, we've got to disagree.
Right?
And like I said, I'm looking at the roster. I'm looking at the amount of players. I'm looking at tough roster decisions that may need to be made. I'm also looking at ways for them to improve. Let's face it, we know they prefer the trade route. You know, I'm just sitting there going, if the Chicago White Sox were to not get Manny Machado, I have a hard time believing they wouldn't like Jed Jerko in Chicago. It's just what I see, and I could be crazy, but that's just kind of what it is. So, good stuff, man. Love the conversations. So I guess I'll ask you the question like I have everyone else. Very simple. Have they done enough?
I'm going to go, because it's spring, I always get caught up in this kind of mindset. I get optimistic in the spring, man. Like Paul Goldschmidt is one of the probably top 10 players in the National League. Like, he's really, really good, and now he's your face, at least for this season. And so, like, I'm going to push aside for a moment the idea that literally everyone is going to get hurt, because that's just kind of the way I tend to view things when the season's actually going on and these things. Like, you know, two dominoes fall, you're like, well, what's next? Like, can they even afford another loss here? But then they always, you know, they find depth from within, and they work things out. But right now, I'm going to ignore all the injury possibilities and say that they have done enough, and that, you know, I'm around 91, 92 wins. Does that win the division? I don't know. Does that win a wild card? I think it's a playoff team this year, one way or another. And, you know, those predictions can kind of change as things go. But I expect no major waves to be made in the Central Division. You know, if the Brewers or something go sign Harper or Machado, then I guess we can revisit that. But right now, I think the Cardinals are a playoff team, as long as they don't have catastrophic issues health-wise. But again, just be ready for the pessimistic Brendan to come back, because the writing's on the wall about this Carlos thing. I don't like it. You know, the Alex Reyes thing, is that going to go well? Like, it's easy to think in early February that everything's good, but man, by late February, like, stuff happens. And so over the next couple of weeks, let's hope that not very much happens.
Well, I'm with you. I could go either way with it. Like I said, I would love to see the guy contend for a Cy Young. I don't know if he can. I think what he can be is dominant. I don't know. You know what's funny is sometimes you don't know until you do know, and he might be that guy. So we'll see. I just want him to be better. And if you go by the two-man rule, if I have Keuchel pitching and I've got Carlos in the bullpen, does that make us better? Well, maybe. And if it does?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And if it does, we'll see.
I don't expect it, man. I would think that would be great, but they're not going to sign Keuchel. That's the problem. Like, if they would have said, we're going to move Carlos to the bullpen and sign another starter, I wouldn't like it, because he's more valuable as a starter. Starters inherently are more valuable than relievers. They just are. But they're not going to do that. So that's where I'm like, dude, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I agree with you on the reliever thing. If it's a guy that has proven that he can pitch in the ninth inning, I'm a little bit more apt to say okay. But, you know, there's a whole faction of people that don't believe in that. So that's for another day,
not
I guess. Well, my friend, I appreciate it. Tell our listeners how they can follow you.
All right, man. You can follow me on Twitter at BSchaefer12. Working on doing some more Periscopes and some other podcasts as we get started. I'll be heading to Jupiter on Friday, so definitely give me a follow on Twitter. And then you can download the Baseball STL app, and that's where you'll find all of my stories for the next couple of weeks down at spring training.
So is this official? Will you be joining us on Bow Ties next week from Jupiter?
That will, unless there's like some kind of crazy meeting right at the time where we need to schedule, it'll happen.
Well, we'll always cut you in, so we'll figure that out.
Yeah,
but that
so
is awesome
we'll
to know.
We'll figure it out.
Well, good stuff,
yeah,
man. I'm glad for you heading down there. Should be a lot of fun for you, and wish you nothing but the best. I will plan on chatting with you next week.
Appreciate it. I'll talk to you then, bro.
All right, that's Brendan Schaefer as our third member of the panel joins us, thanks to our good friends at the Gators Baseball Academy. Their four-pillar system is second to none. You know, we got high school players that have been training all winter, preparing for their game, getting ready to head out. That leaves more time for the youngsters to get in, as their season's probably still a month and a half away from getting fired up. With the new hit tracks going, they've got leagues, they've got tournaments. You can have a lot of fun with that as well. You guys saw Benji Molina use the hit tracks over at the sports bar in the Gators facility in Wentzville. It's a lot of fun. You can do it too. Make sure you go to GatorsBaseballAcademy.com to learn more about how you can use their hit track machine whether it be for training, whether it be for fun, join the leagues, all that good stuff. But if you're really looking to get better, they've got great academies that you guys can join and become a part of the group that's trying to get better both on and off the field. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It's going to do it for us here at Two Birds on a Bat, the spinoff Bow Ties and Bullshit. Don't forget to check us out at TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. We're also going to ask that you follow us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us there, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan, you follow us. We're going to follow you back. We're going to ask you to go to Instagram as well and find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show. We're going to ask you to follow us on Instagram. We're going to have a great contest starting soon for Instagram that revolves around opening day tickets. You better go and follow us. That's how we're going to do it. I got to say, lineupmedia.fm, thank you. We are privileged and honored to be a part of what you guys got going. Yo Radio's the newest streaming platform that everybody should be downloading on their mobile app today. I know you got great things in store for all of us, and we do want to thank you for that as well. Facebook, guys, find us, Two Birds on a Bat. We're going to ask you to follow us on Facebook. Make sure you click invite your friends, invite them all to like page there as we try to get more Cardinal fans involved. And of course, when you see the show posted, it'll be pinned. We're going to ask you to like it, comment on it, and share it. You're always looking for some of the wonderful prizes that we give away weekly here at Two Birds on a Bat. For all of us here, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.